Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Wow, is all I can say. Wow. Your host overslept. I'll just call it like it is because we keep it real. I'm moving forward. And because I got disoriented and didn't realize the time. I was actually half asleep and in prayer. And all of a sudden, when we say a bolt of lightning and thunder goes up, all of a sudden, I mean, I heard lightning that was like, boom. The time exactly was 7:08. Seven, complete, eight, new beginnings. God said, get up. It's time to go to work. When God wakes you up, he wakes you up in a mighty big way. And I looked at my clock and on my phone, like, oh, my God. And so thank you all for tuning in. Whew. That's all I can say. I mean, when I felt like I was waking and the only thing I could do was sit straight up. In bed with, oh my goodness, I have just overslept. Because I couldn't sleep, I couldn't get to sleep last night. As the song says, couldn't seem to fall asleep. There was so much on my mind, searching for that peace I couldn't find. Yesterday was the 11th year since the death of my husband. And I was trying not to do any posting or any of that Facebook stuff anymore. But I did. And it took me till probably early this morning to do it. And so I went to sleep, and I mean, I guess I was sleeping pretty good. Forgive me. As you all know, we usually are promptly starting at 7 a.m., and we don't play around. You may hear my music, my moving forward music. That's because I'm having some technical issues getting into the studio or getting the music off. But normally, I'm here at 7 a.m., promptly. I'm actually here at 6:45 promptly, actually. But I apologize. Forgive your host. I will not say it won't happen again because I'm human. But I thank God for the enormous wake up of wow. All I can say is it sounded like an explosion kind of thunder lightning thing going on. It was a serious feel the Holy Spirit. And I can hear the laughter of God. So thank you so much, family. We're going to get started. We will be in our New Testament word this morning. We will be coming out of 1 Timothy. Whoa, can y'all give a big hand clap? A new book today. A new book, yay. Kind of excited because, you know, 1 Timothy is a pretty awesome word as well. So we finished Jeremiah on Friday, and we did go over a little on Friday because Jeremiah is pretty long. It's a pretty long book, pretty long chapters. So we did go over, and I thank all of you that listened in and stayed with us until 8:30 on Friday to hear all of Jeremiah. And we ended on Friday in Jeremiah chapter 4. We'll be starting on our regular schedule, which will be Old Testament, New Testament, back on Monday. But today, we are still Old Testament, New Testament, but we are Psalms and Proverbs and 1 Timothy. And so we are going to go into prayer. And we're just going to pray our psalm this morning. And the psalm we're praying is our Psalm 119, verses 41 through 48. You know, David prayed, and we're going to pray David's prayer this morning as we open up. And it says this, and we're just going to start with, Father God, let your mercy come also to me, O Lord. Your salvation according to your word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me. For I trust in your word. Take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. For I have hoped in your ordinances. So shall I keep your law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty. For I seek your precepts. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings, and I will not be ashamed, and I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you this morning for waking me up. Boom. For starting me on my way with your power, with your grace, with your with your might. Father God, I thank you for just being a great and mighty Father, a wonderful Father God who loves your daughter. Father God, I pray this statute. I pray this prayer. I pray what David prayed this morning. Lifting up the name of Jesus today, Father God, that your word will go forth in excellence. And Lord God, again, I ask forgiveness. Forgiveness for not putting my trust in you in everything. Lord God, I give myself away this morning that you may use me for your grace. Use me for your word. Use me, Lord. For I am your empty vessel, open and ready to be used by you. Father God, I ask you to fill me up this morning with your word. And Father, as always, I ask you to increase as I decrease. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy sight. For you are my God. You are my Father, are my friend. You are my Savior. You are my Redeemer. And I give myself away. This morning, Father God, use me for your glory in the precious and holy name of the matchless and holy Savior, my friend, my brother, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah, 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 giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. And we're going to continue in our psalm this morning. And I thank God for the prayer that it is. And then as David continues, says, remember, and that's Psalms 119, verses 49 to 56. Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. The proud have me in great derision, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Indignation has taken hold of me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I remember your name in the night, O Lord. Hallelujah. That's a word. That's a highlightable. That's a prayer word. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. This has become mine because I kept your precepts. Woo, thank you, Jesus. We got to keep the precepts. We got to keep the word of the Lord in our hearts, in our minds, and in our spirit. And it says this, you are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. I entered your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I have made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks to you. Hallelujah. And I was giving thanks to God. At midnight, hallelujah. Whoo, I thank God this morning for waking me up. I thank God this morning for just being who he is, a mighty and awesome God. We are made whole by the blood of Jesus, hallelujah. Let's get back in the word because I done got all happy here. Whoo, thank you, Jesus. Psalms 119, verse 62, at midnight, I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgment. I am a companion of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. Hallelujah. That is my prayer this morning, Lord. Teach me your statutes. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, Father God, be acceptable in your sight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as we continue in our proverb this morning, we're in Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27 and 19 says, as in water, faith reflects faith. So a man's heart reveals the man. As Michael Jackson sang and the Williams brothers sang, I'm looking at the man in the mirror. Woo, hallelujah. We got to do some mirror looking, which is a looking at yourself in the water, looking at your face. Hallelujah. Looking at yourself. We got to take a quick look at ourselves as in water. Face reflects face. So a man's heart reveals the man. Hallelujah. Your heart reveals who you are. Do you have a good heart? Do you help your brothers and your sisters? Do you try to do what's right before God? Or do you just do you? And doing you can do what this word says. Hell and destruction are never full. Eyes of men are never satisfied. Hallelujah. I don't want to be hell and I don't want to be destruction. I want to be a holy, awesome woman of God. We got to set up, and do what's right in the eyes of the Lord because time is short. Time is short. God is trying to get us ready because there is going to be a fight. And like I said, if the trumpet sounds like that thunder this morning, whoo, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. Because, like I said, if that trumpet sounds, it is not going to be a joke. Because that means the angels of heaven are coming, and I don't want to be here because it will be destruction. And you will have already gone through simply hell on earth before that time comes. So we better pray and pray, pray some more, that we are blessed and highly favored by God. Not to be here. Hallelujah. And as we go into a couple of life lessons for Psalms 119 and Proverbs 27. Psalms 119:49-50 says this, journeys, walking through difficult times. And let's call it straight, we all have difficult times. Some of us are going through difficult times right now. You know, where we're, as they say, not knowing your head from a hole in the ground. Just all discombobulated. And I'm speaking not for anybody but myself. There are some discombobulated days in my life where I feel like I'm going helter-skelter here and there, everywhere. Like I said, 7:08, the Lord woke me up. And I know for a fact it was God. Because I have never, I say it again, heard thunder like that, where it shook my house. It was a shaking of the bed, shaking of the house, wake up call, because I was in between. My body clock wakes me up on time. But I was in that different, that place where you're kind of in a dream and kind of in reality. That's where I was. I was like trying to wake up prayer. And God said, bam, wake up. That was a wake up call by God. And I am grateful again. I thank him this morning. I thank him again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning. Literally waking me up this morning. And physically waking me up this morning. And it is pouring down rain here this morning. I am thankful, I'm grateful, and I am blessed to be a child of God. And this is what the word of God says. Journeys through the valley are both inevitable and painful. However, they're also meant to be profitable. For example, trials can be times of discovery about God. When feelings of helplessness overtake us, he provides his strength to sustain us. When despair tries to close in, he invites us to experience his peace and promised rest. Matthew 11:28, in the midst of the clamoring pain, he offers himself as our comforter and protector. Other discoveries we make in severe crisis have to do with ourselves. Terrible times test our faith and reveal our true character. When a crisis first hits, most of us will respond with alarm. Then if our relationship with the Lord is weak, fear will increase. As the pressure continues, some of us will panic. Some will seek godly counsel and others will blame people or God for the problem. Instead of standing firm and looking to the Lord, we also try to find a way out of our own. These are signs of spiritual immaturity. Got my hand up. Been there, done that. Got the t-shirt of God trying to tell me something and me not understanding it was God delaying because it was something that was not supposed to happen. God is always in the midst of everything. And when God delays something, it's because it wasn't supposed to happen. He wants the best for us. He wants the best for you. He wants the best for me. He wants to walk in righteousness. He wants us to walk in truth that can only come from God. Hallelujah. We are blessed beyond measure. Be children of the Most High God. We got to walk in it. And he taught, we got to grow in it. We got to become mature. We can't be children forever. We can't be old mom's milk forever. It's time to get some mashed potatoes. It's time to get some roast beef. And all I got to do is give a shout out to our director of hospitality at my church. On last night, our church hosted the Ministerial Alliance. And I tell you this, shout out to to my pastor who was committee on last night for raising, wow, a lot of money for our children for the our Martin Luther King Jr. Essay Contest Awards. We hit our goal and exceeded it. Thanks be to God who causes us to triumph in his name. What a mighty God we serve. Whoa. That's all I can say is whoa. And as we continue in this word, I just have to say this. Our sister in Christ, when I'm talking meat and potatoes, Sister Stacy, I'm shouting her out this morning, made some roast beef that was so delicious. It was tender. It was good. It was flavorful. It was a awesome piece of beef. I was so impressed that I can't say anything but thank you, Stacy. May God get the glory for your hard work within the church body, you and your children. She and her children served the meal, cleaned up after the meal, and everything was delicious. That's all I can say, delicious. So shout out to our chief of hospitality director at my church. And again to my pastor for a vision and for exceeding that vision. Hallelujah. And we all did our parts. Thank you, God. And it says, by contrast, those whose faith is strong will move from alarm to trust over time. We see this as he writes, remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. Hallelujah. I say it again, for your word has given me life. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. Thank you, God, for your word this morning. Hallelujah. And it goes on to say, David's sinner's faith in God's word was rewarded for it. David was rewarded for it because he loved God. And that's what I want. I want that David kind of love where I trust in the Lord in everything. Even when I mess up, I get up and clean up and do what I need to do. I want that get up and clean up spirit that David had, that repentant spirit. Hallelujah. We got to repent. We got to get up. We got to clean up. Hallelujah. We too must seek out the Lord through prayer and the word. Dr. Stanley, know who you're talking. We got to pray without. That's what the word says, isn't it? Pray without ceasing. And it says, remembering his help to us in the past. Psalm 77:11-14. In this way, our endurance and confidence in him will build, and we will also believe his promises and trust him to keep them despite any evidence to the contrary. God is on the throne, and he will wake you up in the morning. I'm a firm believer. Don't play. God will wake you up. When you got an assignment for God, don't worry. He's going to wake you up. And when he wakes you up with a bang. Woo, 7:08. That's all I can say. 7:08. Thank you, Lord, for the wake-up call this morning. Because I didn't hear my regular alarms. I didn't hear anything. I slept. But God, hallelujah. Oh, I can't say it enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thanks be to God who causes us to triumph in his holy name. Hallelujah. Woo, Jesus, the highest praise is hallelujah. And I give it to God this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for just being in the midst. Hallelujah. So let's get into our New Testament word this morning. And all I can say is, okay now. This is an okay now word. Because Timothy's showing out now. You know, because Timothy been hanging with Paul. And, you know, they've been doing their thing together. And now Paul writes 1 Timothy. But understand, he don't play. You know, because Paul wrote pretty much the majority of the New Testament. But he wrote this. Paul's the author of 1 Timothy. And he and Timothy, you know, hanging out together. You know, because this word, why it's 1 Timothy. Most people think that Timothy wrote the word. But no, this is Paul writing to Timothy. 1 Timothy is an epistle of Paul, which is a letter to Timothy. Just as our Corinthians were letters to the Corinthians, letters to the Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Chronicles, you know, all letters. I'm sorry, not Chronicles. Chronicles, that's, we're dealing with the Old Testament. And again, they were really historical documents chronicling the kings of Judah and Israel. So, again, you know, we, all of this, Paul wrote the Thessalonians with Timothy. And as we go through these words, it's like, wow. You know, because if you look at the Chronicles, they were the Chronicles because they believed that Ezra, the priest, is the one that wrote those. But again, it was historical letters and facts of what was going on at that time. And so Paul and Timothy was the Thessalonians. And now we have Paul writing to Timothy because Timothy was going with Paul wherever Paul was going. So the Colossians, Thessalonians, Philippians were written by Paul with Timothy, who was his armor bearer. I'll just call Timothy the armor bearer. He was Paul's age. He was like his son. And so now Paul is writing to him in 1 Timothy. And this is what our, you know, our little book, Know Your Bible. And it says this, the author of 1 Timothy was Paul. And it happened in approximately AD 63. In 10 words or less, pastors are taught how to conduct their lives and churches. I'm going to say that again because this is for pastors. 1 Timothy is for pastors. It's for leadership. It's for the folks in the church that want to be in leadership, their lives and churches. Details of this epistle. It says this, the first three pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy, contains the aging Apostle Paul's insight for a new generation of church leaders. Timothy had often worked alongside Paul, but was now pastoring in Ephesus. Paul warned him against legalism and false teaching, listed the qualifications for pastors and deacons, and describe the behavior of a good minister of Jesus Christ in the final three chapters. And some quotable. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Whew. He just might as well just raise our hands right along with him, because we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But man desires the office of a bishop. He desires a good work. Unique and unusual in 1 Timothy, seems to command good pay for pastors. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. The laborer is worthy of his reward. Chapter 5. We got to understand, so many churches want pastors to work for free. You know, well, they got a job. I don't know why we got to be paying them to do God's work. I don't get paid. Folks don't have a clue what pastors do and what pastors go through. And yes, I'll say it, pastors deserve to be paid. They deserve to get a stipend. They deserve to be compensation, because pastoring is a job for God. And we all should be paid for our job. For the work you do, you should get paid. And I tell you, pastors deserve it. They deserve it. And any church not paying their pastor what a pastor deserves, they need to have that. They need that. God's going to spank their behind. I don't have to say anything. God's going to beat their butt. And I say it just like that. They're going to get their hiney toe up because they're not taking care of their pastor. You're supposed to take care of your pastor. Through 1 Timothy, though 1 Timothy is a letter to a pastor, thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God. Can speak to the rest of us too. And I'm going to read that again. Paul's teaching. That thou mayest know how thou ought to act or behave thyself in the house of God. And speak to the rest of us. We all need to know how to act in the house of God. Hallelujah. Whatever your assignment, do it well. 1 Timothy chapter 1 through chapter 3 we will be doing this morning, God willing. And it says, it's Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, a hope, to Timothy, a true son from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, as I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly of edification, which is in faith. Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. Come on now, you got to go to the word. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Paul was giving his testimony because we know he was a hot mess trying to kill folks, standing there and watching poor Stephen get murdered. Didn't have a flicker of any sympathy. Come on now, he told us the truth. Although I was a former, did you hear that? Formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. In other words, I was a hot mess. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful thing and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. We all can get in the chief line right along with him, because nobody, not one iota of us, are perfect. We are all hot messes in our own way and right. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage a good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, with some having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Don't play with God, and don't play with his children. Paul had an assignment, and he did not hesitate to do what he was called to do, and neither can we. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, hallelujah. And it says, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in the godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Can I say that again? Who desires all men, and I include women in that, to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. Can y'all say it with me? There is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Desire therefore, come on now, you better preach it. You better preach it, Pastor. Apostle Paul is in the house this morning. I desire therefore that the men pray wherever, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting, in the manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women, professing godliness with good works. But understand, he didn't say God said this. I want y'all to catch this. Because so many times folks say, well, women should, you know, be modest. Women should this and women should that. But no, what did he say? I, meaning Paul, I desire therefore that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel and propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. And I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. No, I want y'all to say it again. And what did he say? Did he say, and God does not? He said, and I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man, but to be silent. Catch it. Catch it in your spirit. He's not talking for God. This is not prophetic work. This is Paul in his manliness, in his humanness, saying this is what I prefer as an apostle and as a preacher and as a pastor. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. Paul is speaking, and he made sure he did not say God said. He said, I prefer, because a lot of men use that scripture to keep women in submission in the church, to keep women from being pastors, to keep women from being preachers and teachers, keep women out of the pulpit. They use that word. But if you read it thoroughly, you find out God didn't say that. Paul said, I said this. This is how I feel. This is what I want within the churches that I created as an apostle. Catch that word. 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine nor violent, nor greedy for money. He better, now this he's speaking the truth, but gentle, nor quarrelsome, nor covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Novice, lest being pulled up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. We all know what happened. Got all full and high and mighty and decided that because he was in charge of the heavenly angels and the music of heaven, that he should take over. Huh, wrong. And what happened? Got beat down and kicked out. Just like a rebellious child. Talking mess to your parents. And when 18 hits the door, you are hitting the door with it. And then what you gonna do? And that's what happened. The enemy decided, the evil one decided he was going to talk a whole bunch of trash and try to take over where he didn't create anything. He was created. Come on now. But let's keep it moving. It says, moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. How many pastors and bishops are falling prey to this same stuff right now? Every day we find ourselves reading about some bishop, some preacher, some teacher falling. We read about it every day. Some church going out of business. And that's the Lord's business. And it goes on to tell us, likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith, which is things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now you see where the church of the living God, come on now, the pillar and the ground of the truth, got their title and their names from. They go by this word, this 1 Timothy chapter 3 word, including bishops, including deacons. They go by the whole, all of it. Again, I'm going to read that one more time. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the, what? Truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on the world, received up in glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And we're going to hit some life lessons before we get out of here this morning from 2 Timothy, and all I can say is, wow, it has been a word. 1 Timothy, so I'm sorry, I said 2 Timothy, but 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 4, nor give heed to fables, endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. And this is what Dr. Stanley says in this life lesson. The goal of all Christian instruction ought to be godly edification, which does not merely fuel speculation or cause useless arguments, but which helps people in practical ways to grow closer to God and each other. Praise the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. No one persecuted the early Christian church more zealously than did Saul. And nobody preached forgiveness more than Paul. Yet he received God's complete forgiveness. And so can you. If God could save Paul, who tried to destroy the church, then he can save anyone. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Dr. Stanley, for these life lessons, because I tell you, they come in handy. I'll tell you, I'll read and I'll say, whoa, right on point, Lord. Thank you. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And when we go to 1 Timothy verses 3 and 4, it says this: "But this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Hallelujah. The Lord does not celebrate the need to judge wicked people and send them to hell, but the opportunity to redeem repentant people and bring them to heaven. He opens wide the doors to his homes. Hallelujah. And I thank God, because I don't want to be a visitor. I want to stay and spend time there. I want to move into my own house that's on the grounds of the Lord's kingdom. Come on now. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. "If a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of that church of God? Before God gives us greater responsibilities in a larger sphere of influence, he requires us to demonstrate our faithfulness with a lesser responsibility in a smaller sphere of influence." Praise the Lord. We got to take care of home and hearth. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. "Lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil." Satan became the devil through his pride. Once he was an honored and holy angel, created to glorify God, he became the evil one when he became so impressed with himself that he tried to take God's place. Watch out. 1 Timothy 3 and 10, let these also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons. What kind of test does Paul have in mind? What could show a person's readiness for a leadership role? You give them a smaller task, and if they do well and inspire others, they'll probably be ready for something bigger. Praise the Lord. And as we continue our last life lesson and the end of our broadcast this morning is this. 1 Timothy 3 and 15. "Know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. Every believer is to bring honor to God. It's really important for church leaders to provide a stellar example of faith in action. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him." 1 Corinthians 3 and 17. And that is the end of our word today. Before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word for today is this, and the word for yesterday: "Good morning. Be grateful for today and never take anything for granted." This was yesterday's word. Oh, actually Friday's word. "Good morning. God will give you strength for every battle, wisdom for every decision, and peace that surpasses all understanding." Yesterday, be grateful for today and never take anything for granted. Life is a blessing. Praise the Lord. That was a word I needed yesterday. And today, God will meet you where you are in order to take you where he wants you to go. Have a spiritual Sunday. And I say to you every day, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And thank you for joining me this morning with my very late self. But thank be to God who caused us to triumph in his name and who woke me up this morning. Praise be the Lord God Almighty. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.